You're tuned into Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. Retire your apron, kick off your heels, and sit back. Hit it, girls.
Welcome to Desperate. This is a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit the Desperate Housewives. I'm Julia, and we are almost finished with season one.
I know. We're coming in on the last three episodes. It's crazy.
I'm not ready for it to be over.
I'm not either.
I mean, it's not over. We still have, like, a couple more seasons. Like, five more seasons, obviously.
But yeah.
Season one, like, kicked off with the suicide of Mary Alice Young.
It did.
And I'm not ready to, like, have the mystery be solved almost.
I know. It's coming.
They've been giving us bits and pieces. I've had an emotional journey with this show. Mm-hmm. It's been a good time. We're coming at you from a new recording space today.
We are.
In my new empty apartment. So it might be echoey. I don't know. You could deal with it.
It's fine.
Yeah, you might hear some, like, random shit here and there, like doors closing, neighbors arguing. Yeah. I don't know. My cat meowing. I have a cat now.
Oh, yeah, she has a cat now.
I'm not fully adopted her yet. Soon. I don't know.
By the time this comes out.
She might make an appearance. Yeah, by the time this comes out, I'll have adopted her, I think.
Yeah.
But we're happy that you're here with us today. You can watch on Hulu or Amazon Prime. I'm sure there's another place that you can watch if you have any of the other, like...
You can go to Netflix, order the DVDs.
Yeah. Somebody told me that they still order DVDs recently, and I was like... They just like it. I don't know.
I accidentally did watch a little bit ahead just because I wasn't even really watching, but all of a sudden I'm like, wait, what episode is it? Like, my brain just, like... I don't know.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, if I'm, like, doing laundry or something, like folding laundry, I just don't really think about it.
Well, today we're watching season one, episode 21, Sunday in the Park with George. If you guys recall, George is the psychopathic pharmacist, we could call him.
He's a pharmacist, yeah.
Yeah. I'd say he's psycho. He's definitely stalking Bree. He's in love with her.
Obsessed with her.
He hates Rex. He's switching Rex's meds for his heart. He's literally fucking with the health of his love interest.
I mean, Rex has been complaining.
All Rex does is complain, besides when he's being lit lately about his son being gay.
Sometimes he's lit, and then other times he's, like, a fucking monster. What the fuck is it?
Like, very lit a couple episodes, but that's what we're watching today, so you can queue it up wherever you want, however you want, but Hulu, Amazon Prime, that's where those live. And you also can, if you're listening to this right now, wherever you're listening, find a way to rate, review, subscribe, whatever all the things are.
Yeah.
So we appreciate that. We love a good review, written review. Some 5 stars are appreciated. Follow, I think that's what I was looking, as we're looking for the word follow. But we're also on social media. So check us out, Twitter and Instagram. Email us. Tell us your stories. We had a lovely desperate deed sent to us couple weeks ago that we appreciated. We had a fan. When we posted an episode, we, like, got the number wrong and they let us know, and we were very appreciative. They were like, it's episode 19, not 13.
You're,
I was like, oh my god, thank you. I would have never looked. I probably would have caught them, but we appreciate it and we're happy you're here with us. So today, like usual, we're gonna do a recap of what happened in the last episode, episode 20. Mm-hmm. It was off the chain. I think I gave it 5 stars, if I recall.
Yeah.
I gave it a five.
You did. You gave it a full 5.
Well, then we're going to go into our desperate deeds, which I have some good ones stored up. It's been a long, desperate couple weeks for me.
Mine is a celebrity desperate deed. Oh, I don't even know if it's a desperate deed. I just really want to talk about it.
Is it, like, the Free Britney?
No.
Bill Cosby?
No. Oh, it's okay. About Nick Cannon.
Oh, wait. Okay. Okay, yes. Well, I have some of my own life. I might have some love. I don't know. We'll see, you guys, where I go with it in the heat of the moment. And then we're going to go into our recap of this episode. Then we're going to do our usual fuck, marry, kill, housewife of the week, and an apple rating of 1 to 5 apples. I don't know that we'll get another 5 anytime this season. It's pretty rare.
It is rare, yeah.
We've done 2 5-stars now.
It's hard because you don't want to, like, overrate something.
Yeah.
Because I want to make sure, like, if I'm giving it 5 apples, like, that's a fucking spot on episode, you know?
I thought Susan's kitchen blowing up was everything.
That was pretty wild.
The barbecue where everybody's together, Gabby discovering the secret of the birth control. It had everything for me, that episode. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Having on the edge of the seat. But speaking of that, we can just go into the recap.
All right.
I mean, Susan was getting mad suspicious of Paul. She's intertwined with Edie and Paul. Yeah. Edie, like, spills the beans to Paul, like, really easily. Like, no pressure applied.
Barely any.
Zero pressure applied. Because Edie fucked Paul, if we recall.
Yep.
I imagine it was hot. I imagine. But we don't know. They cut away. And Paul comes over to the construction site and is like, what's, like, why were you really there that night? Because you're out of my league. And she's like, oh, you know, like, I was just returning your keys. And then he's like, he accepts that. He starts to walk away. And Edie's like, actually, Susan convinced me because she is convinced that you're a serial killer. And Paul is like, okay. And like, and he's about to go handle business. Mike overhears it because for some reason he's on this construction site. Mike is like, Edie, what's that about? And she tells him. And then Mike takes it upon himself to go warn Susan at a coffee house, and it was hot and like abrupt and almost hostile. It was really, he was like, don't go near Paul. And she's like, wasn't planning on it. He's like, good. And then they have a moment and he like leaves. And I'm like, cool. After that, she like addresses Paul. She goes over and she's like, or Paul addresses her. I don't know how it happens. They have a conversation about it. Paul's like, I hear that you think I'm suspect. I'm suspicious. And she's like, yeah. And he's like, well, let me tell you the truth. And this is after Mike told her not to go over there. And we see Susan, like, up in Paul's house, like, having a glass of whiskey with him or whatever, tea. I don't know. And he's like, scotch. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Mary Alice changed her name because she had a falling out with an aunt that she was named after. And Susan's
it's
like,
so stupid. Susan's like, that's the dumbest shit I've ever
that
heard.
That is like the biggest lie.
Paul just like clear this lie. Whole season, every lie he comes up with, no one ever believes it.
No.
Ever. Ever.
Also, this bitch, let's talk about how he dug the trunk up from underneath his pool. Cement pool. With the dead body in it. He could have left it. This would have never been a problem.
I will never understand. I feel like that is what caused all the problems.
The pickaxe, the sound, like episode one, let's go back. The sound of a secret, and it's like the pickaxe on the pool. And I'm like,
the cops literally would never have gotten involved if they didn't know, like, if that chest had never been found.
No, never.
And like, then they find out about like the dead body. Deirdre gets found. That's how Mike becomes suspicious. Like, if that body had never been found, no one would have ever known anything.
Also, it just would have never been found. Like, Mike would have never like traced it back to underneath the cemented pool.
No.
Do you know how much the construction of a pool takes, like, months of time, a year sometimes? Like, my uncle built a pool. It took so long. They cement that shit. Nobody is ruining that after.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's stupid. Paul sucks. Paul literally is the worst criminal ever.
He's so bad at it.
He's messy.
So, Mary Alice must have been the mastermind is what we learned. Because know, this man, like, cannot.
She died and he's like, the gig is up. Like, I'm fucked. He basically lies. Susan doesn't buy it. They go to this barbecue. Carlos is going away barbecue. They keep calling it something. His like farewell. A government mandated.
Yeah, government sponsored vacation.
Yeah. So they keep calling it that, and that's his party. Susan is there and her fucking kitchen blows up. And she's like, what the fuck? So that happens. She also consoles Gabby because we find out Gabby is pregnant. And then the kitchen blows up, and as Susan is investigating the charred kitchen, she looks over and sees Paul and, like, knows that it was him who blew it up.
Yeah.
Leading her to go see Shaft, a.k.a. Hafs, who is...
still shook by this.
Yes. Who is a private detective, and that's how we end the episode, that she's like, I need you to investigate Paul, that my neighbor, I feel unsafe. I think something's really wrong. And Haft is like, you got it. So we end there. But back to Gabby. Gabby's storyline, we find out that she's pregnant. She finds out she's pregnant. She goes to buy a Porsche and the smell of the leather like makes her vomit in the car, which disgusting. That car has to be off the showroom after that. She straight up vomits in like a Maserati or something. Porsche.
Yeah, no,
I don't know.
Crazy.
she vomits and she's like, sorry, I've just been like feeling sick lately. And this is me if I were to accidentally get pregnant. I'd be like, I don't know what's up. I've just been sick a lot. My tits are big. Like, I don't
know. Do you remember that show on like TLC or whatever that was like, I didn't know I was pregnant? Yeah, or they just like give birth and they're like, what? Like, okay. Like, I feel like you wouldn't, like, you didn't notice you didn't have a period for fucking 9 months. Like, yeah, what the hell?
Questionable. And they weren't on birth control. I feel like you have a lot of. You would know, maybe. You'd have some signs. But, yeah, Gabby's like, I'm not pregnant. And the sales lady is like, I have the same symptoms, too. Like, you're pregnant. And she's like, fuck you. No.
Yeah, she, like, gets really fucking hostile
about
it.
And this lady is like, shit, I'm ruining my sale. Like, I don't know what to do. Yeah. You should never assume a woman is pregnant. I learned that. Then Gabby's like, oh, shit, I am. And she spends the rest of the episode, like, dealing with that. She also has had sex with John, so she's not sure who the baby daddy is. Yeah. But it comes to its peak at the party. She's frustrated. She's, like, getting sick, like, all episode. And she's mm-hmm. at the grill, and the smell of the meat is making her sick. And she's, like, goes upstairs. She tries to drink a glass of champagne, and she's like, I'm pregnant, so I can't. And then she looks at her birth control and notices it's been altered. She screams at Carlos in front of the party and slaps him.
And he smiles.
He like smiles. Because she's like, I'm pregnant because of you, bitch. And, like, he's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, what the fuck?
That's so messed up. He's a fucking psychopath.
And then she has that conversation with Susan. Susan's like, maybe it's a blessing in disguise. And she's like, no. Oh, yeah, she visits a priest to talk about it. She goes through, like, the emotions of finding out you're actually pregnant. Well, not accidentally. You have been manipulated into being pregnant by your
psycho husband. Yeah, it was no accident on someone's part.
Yeah, and then she tells Susan, she's like, I'm not sure who the baby daddy is because I've been fucking John. And Susan is like, well, he's 18 now, so I guess it's not a problem.
It's fucking insane.
And that's kind of where it ends, I think.
Lynette's storyline is basically she finds out that Tom hired his ex-girlfriend, who she had, like, stolen him away from, like, years ago. He, like, is working with her. And he did not tell her.
He hit it.
Yeah, for like 3 months.
Long time.
Way too long. Lynette is obviously jealous and upset by it. And Tom is kind of not very empathetic about it whatsoever. Basically, like, he tries to tell her, like, no, like, it's just based on her talent, blah, blah, blah. And Lynette's like, okay, but, like, there's other people out there. Like, you didn't have to hire your ex-girlfriend. But then she goes to Edie for advice because she's feeling insecure. And Edie's like, well, like, get close to her so you could keep an eye on her. So they have her over for dinner. And Lynette's not even trying to be close to her. She's just, like, awkwardly has her kids paraded out with, like, this family drawing and stuff. And, like, her kids are stupid. And they're like, Mom, you told us to draw this. And they embarrass the fuck out of her.
She was sad. My review of it was, like, fuck everything Lynette did after the point of finding out.
And then, like, they have, like, Tom and Annabelle have to, like, go back to work. And Lynette and Tom kind of have this, like, intense, I would call it kind of a showdown, like an emotional showdown. Where he, again, is not understanding whatsoever and, like, what she expresses, what she's insecure about. Not only is he going back to work with Annabelle that night because they have, like, some work emergency, but he's also, like, kind of drunk.
Yeah, he's a little drunk, and he said, you are, like, so set on, like, creating this problem almost. You're going to drive me away.
Which is fucked up.
And he's like, he's like, you threaten me all the time saying I'll take the kids and leave if you ever cheat on me, if you do this and that. And she's like, that's just something that women say to their husbands. And then he says the most fucked up thing ever and is like, you are going to drive me away if you keep doing this. And she's hurt. She's visibly hurt. And then he's like, that's just something that husbands say to their wives. And I'm like, and then he is like, leaves with Annabelle. It's fucked up.
I've been in a relationship where guys basically said that to me. Like, if you keep, like, being so insecure, like, I am, like, that's why I'm gonna cheat, basically saying, like, the same thing.
Yeah, I've had that happen.
And I get, like, that, where that mentality comes from, but it's a fucked up thing to say.
But it's also, like, when you're expressing to them that they're making you insecure, like,
then they gaslight you into thinking that, no, it's all your fault.
They're making you so insecure, and then they're like, if you keep being insecure like this, you're going to drive me away. And I'm like, well, maybe you shouldn't make me feel insecure every fucking day of my life. Like,
it's rare that people are just insecure for no reason.
Yeah.
Typically, if, like, someone feels that way, there's a reason to. And honestly, like, Lynette's behavior stems from the fact that they did have an affair, and that's how they got together. So, like, and just because it was with her doesn't mean that that isn't, like, kind of a little worrying that he did that. Obviously, it was a long time ago, and they have kids and stuff, but, like, I don't know. I just felt like Tom should be a little more understanding, because every movie or book ever talks about, like, if the husband has an affair, it's typically with someone they work with in close quarters like that. It's fucked up, and it's, like, I don't know. I just feel like if your partner's, like, feeling worried, maybe you should try and, like, find middle ground, maybe instead of being, like, so closed off to it. Like, Tom was just, like, refused to even attempt to ease her fears.
Yeah, Tom, I think that's kind of where it ends, though. He just leaves.
He does get just any resolution. Leave. No, like, and what sucked that episode, too, is, like, Tom acts like he didn't do anything wrong. But at the end of the day, like, it's super suspicious to not tell someone for 3 months.
Hella suspicious.
Like, if he had told her right away, I can guarantee that Lynette, while she still probably would have been jealous, would not have been so weird about it.
Yeah, she wouldn't have been crazy.
Like, or he could have, like, maybe not even, like, got her permission, but he could have been like, hey, like, there's this open position. I think Annabelle might be a good fit. Like, and I'm thinking about...
Yeah, you better be talking about your ex being around before they ever show their face around.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he could have at least, like, opened the door to that conversation.
Instead of Lynette just walked into work. She was literally bringing him lunch. I would and was like, why is this bitch here? Like, I would have been pissed.
Yeah. I would have been pissed too. Like, that was not cool.
Yeah, so he's been liking her pictures on Instagram too, I'm sure.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's little behaviors like that.
Leaving comments.
Like, you cannot cheat on your partner and still disrespect them. And that's, I feel like, what he did. Like, he disrespected her.
For sure. He opened the door for it.
So. And this, especially after, like, this season alone, we've already dealt with, like, the naked nanny situation.
Yeah.
Like, Tom's, we know that.
Got a wandering eye.
Yeah. No, and we know that Lynette is, like, he knows Lynette has some insecurities, so it's like, what the fuck?
And then Brie also is just dabbling in the realm
of emotional affairs.
Emotional affairs. She starts kicking it with George again. I wouldn't say kicking it, because she's trying to get permission from Rex to kick it with him. And Rex is jealous and is like, no, why would you need a male friend? She invites him to the party, the barbecue, and Rex freaks out. And he's like, why would you do that? And Bree is like, because he's like a friend. And he's like, no. And then, what's his face? George lies about having a girlfriend. Some chick that he was literally totally disrespectful to.
It's like one of his workers.
His employee that he verbally, like, assaulted beforehand. And he's like, oh, actually, she's my girlfriend, and we can definitely come to the party. So, like, see you there. So they go to the party. Rex pushes him in the pool.
Yeah.
Brie goes in with him. And Rex is not at all, like, sorry about it. He's like, sorry that you went with him. Like, oops, didn't know you were going to fall in the pool. Super narcissistic abuse. But it's like, oh, why did you do that? Why did you hurt yourself? It's like, yeah, I couldn't help it. Like, you pushed this, like, whatever. So Rex pops off at the party when he sees George, pushes him in the pool. He's like, I know that you're not dating this fucking weird chick. Like, he was,
I mean,
on
Brie
him.
Is being fucking stupid, though.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, George is so clearly obsessed with her. Like, is, like, Brie's
she
so
knows
stupid.
What's up, but I feel like she's just lonely.
She is lonely. And so you start, she's not, like, emotionally fulfilled.
Yeah. So she's hanging with George, and, like, that's what's up. But that's where it ends. I don't think they talk more about it after. No. Brie goes to the pharmacy the next day and is like, whatever, we can still be friends. I don't give a fuck that Rex hates you. And that's that. That's on that. And so we're excited to see where they go this time. My desperate deed has to do with my new cat.
Let's hear it.
I just have, like, been going through a lot of change lately in my life with, like, just people and, like, the apartment, moving, and jobs and, like, stuff. And I was, like, having a week last week. And I was, like, I've been thinking about getting a cat for a long time. You guys have heard me talk about getting a cat. Multiple cats. And I was, like, I started saying I was going to foster. And so I was, like, one, I had Friday off before 4th of July. And I was, like, I'm going to fucking, like, go get the cat today. I had a date that day, too. I was going to go on a lunch date with this guy. And I literally texted my friend. And I was, like, yeah, because he's, like, what are you doing today? And I was, like, well, I'm supposed to go on a lunch date, but I honestly might cancel to, like, go get this cat. And he's like, that's such a mood. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but I pushed the date. I got to get the cat and go on the date. Doesn't matter.
It all worked out.
It all worked out. And the problem is I brought the cat home. I went to the foster place. I went to the shelter And I was under the impression that they would give me everything to take care of the cat. They did not. So I had to like stop at Petco with my cat. But you can't leave animals in your car because it's irresponsible. So I took my little cat into Petco, which freaked her out. I took her into Petco in her little box and she was pissed at me. And then when we got home, she was just so traumatized from the car ride and being in Petco that she like freaked out and like ran out of her box and hid behind my stove. Because my stove was for some reason off the wall. That's just how I got it in the apartment. I didn't think about moving it because I don't cook. Mm-hmm. So I was like, whatever, she can hang out there. And I was like bringing all of her stuff in that I bought at Petco. My property manager stops by. He's just like on his way out and he just like said what's up to me and was like, sorry, there's people moving upstairs. So there's like noise. And I was like, whatever. I hear like this, like I hear a noise from behind the stove. And I was more worried about her escaping. And I look back at the stove and there's like nothing. I don't see anything. And then I go after the property manager leaves and I look behind the stove and there's like no cat there. And I was like, where the fuck did this cat go? And I like see that there's like an opening in the back of the stove and my cat like crawled in there and lived there for a day. And it's literally, it ruled my life. It was all I could think about. I was very concerned about this cat. So I, first of all, like move the stove further away from the wall. That's my first thing. I'm like, oh my God, what if she dies in there? Also, what if she shits in there? I can't stop thinking about this. So I like put food back there. Mm-hmm. I go by cat. Okay. No, the catnip was the last resort. I put dry food there at first, dry food and water. And then I'm hand feeding her. I'm like craning my arm around into this cove to hand feed her. Cause I'm worried cause she's underweight and she has a little cold. She has the cat cold. So there's lots of things happening. Then that's not working. She's not coming out. She fucking hates me. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to go get some wet food. So I go buy wet food. And I'm like putting the wet food. I'm like making trails. I'm like trying to get, nothing is working. And the next morning I go to my workout class and I'm like, that's all I could think about. And I'm like, everybody said fostering a cat was going to be cool. It's not. It's not. And then I was so desperate. I had other shit to do that day. I think I canceled most shit. And I was like, I need to go buy catnip right now.
I know, I got some stressed calls from
you. Yeah, I did call you on the way to get catnip. And I'm like, I am so worried about her.
And so, I'm a veteran cat owner. Yeah. So I was trying to, as some of you may know, cats that like tend to kind of do this when they're in a new location. They find a spot and hole up until they like feel more comfortable. I could feel your stress. I would be stressed too. I'd be like, what the fuck? Like this cat hates me.
I wasn't making her any more comfortable in any way. So then I finally, the catnip doesn't work. I put catnip there. Nothing happens for 2 minutes. And I'm like, fuck it. I get a screwdriver and I unscrew the back of my stove and I like grab her. I pulled off the side of it like a superhero and like grabbed her and put her in my room. And I was so desperate. And then it worked out in the end, but I desperately like went through 5 different things and I feel like I love my cat more because we went through this together. But that's my desperate deed.
I feel you though. You kind of like the stress of a living creature being in your care.
And it's a foster cat. If I killed the foster cat, they would never let me have a cat ever. City of Los Angeles would be like, no, blacklisted.
But now you know if you foster more cats, that's a spot you gotta like
now cover up or something. The stove is it against. Nobody can get back there.
Yeah.
So what's yours?
For my desperate deed this week, I was going to talk about Nick Cannon, but I think I'm going to stay on the cat theme and save that one for next week. So don't worry, guys. We'll talk about Nick Cannon and his baby mama drama. Right after we got my cat Cleo, I used to take her on walks, like in a little harness. And one day we were like walking and I was like kind of young. I was maybe like 13. And these like big ass birds started circling us. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, oh my God. I start like getting kind of panicky. They were hawks, like big ass hawks. And they were preying on Cleo. They were swooping down at us like to grab her. They were. And we were like getting close to home. But I was like, oh my God. All I had was this water bottle. And I didn't know what to do. These hawks are fucking scary. Like,
they will. Yeah, hawks are very scary.
Yeah. So I start panicking. I like grab her. And I'm like running up this hill to like try and get us home. Desperately trying to keep us away from these hawks. And then they kept swooping. They kept like fucking dive bombing us. So I'm using my water bottle. I'm like throwing water at them. I fucking tried to smack one away. It was like the most desperate I've ever felt to protect a creature. And I did not walk Cleo for like a few years after that. It haunts me.
Okay. I would be super scared. Hawks
are she's like, a small cat. Yeah, she's like, so
your cat would have been gone in an instant.
Well, and your cat is small like Cleo. Yeah. So like our cats are, for those of you that don't know, they're not like big cats. Like they're
not fat.
They're not fat.
They're so tiny.
They're just like small adult cats. I don't even know how to describe it. They're like
what they are.
I feel like they're like weird, like a tweener size for a cat. I don't even know.
They were runts. I don't know.
I don't know.
They're just cute as hell. Yeah. But
they're small and they're like hawk sized. That's so yeah. After that, I was really freaked out and I didn't even let Cleo outside, but she likes to be outside.
Hawks take like little dogs too.
They do. You have to be careful. We have a little dog and I worry about that.
Yeah, you got to be careful. Yeah. But so we're desperate cat owners.
Yes. Nothing scarier than something bad happening to your cat.
We have like a sub segment of our audience that's like cat lovers.
I feel like it goes hand in hand. Being a cat lover, desperate housewives lover.
Well, that kind of wraps up where we're at. Well, I know it's a bit of a longer intro today, yeah. So we'll speed through.
That's okay.
But we are happy that you're here. We're going to go watch the episode, season one, episode 21, Sunday in the Park with George. So go queue it up, watch it with us, and come back and listen to our recap. But as always, grab your cat and buckle up.
Buckle up.
Season one, episode 21, Sunday in the Park with George. Have Lynette and Tom lost their spark in the bedroom? Lynette tries to spice things up, to no avail. Susan seeks solace about her issues with Mike's past. While on the verge of emotional cheating with George, Bree decides to call things off. Gabby tells John about the baby, and he tries to take it in stride. Felicia rescues Zach from Paul's plan to become fugitives together.
Okay, you guys, I'm a hopeless romantic too.
Me too, I relate it. I'm like, I've never been married, but I definitely related to Sophie. Married
4 times. I don't know that I'll be married 4 times, but I feel her. It sounds like she gave these guys a lot of chances too, which is typically my MO.
I have to say though, her rings, her big rings, ass diamonds, all of them, big ass diamonds. Epic. Yeah. Epic Susan's rings. Gonna inherit some nice ass jewelry.
I love that she was just staring at them too. It was like a Thursday night or whatever, and she's just chilling at 1 a.m, like looking at her rings, yeah. Contemplating. But
those are nice rings, though.
Ooh, 7 rings. Yeah. So Mary Alice comes in hot with her BO, and I think it's interesting that she started with Sophie. We don't typically get an extraneous character start, like, you know, I guess Mrs. McCluskey a couple of, but it wasn't even Mrs. McCluskey really. It was like Lynette's fantasy about her dying.
Yeah.
Like, Mary Alice Young says Sophie was a hopeless romantic and also hopelessly naive, which is how she came to be married 4 times. It looks like she married a guy who liked to gamble, a guy who liked to drink. The 3rd time was a guy who liked other men. And then the 4th time was the guy who liked to drink again. Yep. And I was like, ooh, I feel seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, number 2 for me. And she was tired of having her heart broken. So she decided that she would never get married again. And I was like, same. Like, I'm with you. Never been married. Maybe never will be. But I'm like, yeah, I feel you, girl. Then one night, Morty comes by at 1 a.m, and this is so
he's a little drunk, romantic. But it's still sweet.
It was cute. It's cute old man drunk. Yeah.
Nothing sweeter than someone coming around and realizing and like, I don't know.
Yeah, nothing cuter when they're not toxic, people. Nothing cuter than an I miss you from a healthy man.
Yeah.
But he says that he is going, Susan answers the door because he's like outside Susan's house yelling. And Susan is like, what the fuck? And she's like, come inside, Morty. Like, yeah. Let's sit you down and like get sobered up. And he's like, I'm going to ask Sophie to marry me. The restaurant's making money. I bought a jet ski. My cholesterol is down, but none of it is fun without her. And I,
very romantic. Oh
my God, my heart is like bursting.
Yeah. And then Susan's like, she doesn't want to see you. Like, Susan is like so like,
Susan says she's moved on.
Yeah.
And I was like,
which to be fair, Sophie has acted like she moved on
a little bit. Tim from the Box Factory.
Yeah.
Taking peppermint schnapps shots with some gross men.
She has bad taste except for Morty.
Oh my God. None of it's fun without her. Makes me want to fucking sob my eyes out. I want somebody to say that about me. It's not fun without you. It's, you're right. It's not. Like,
it's nice to find someone that you feel that way about.
Oh, my God.
That's sweet.
Yeah, so Susan says she's moved on, and Sophie bursts in and is like, why are you drinking, Morty? The doctor said not to drink. And I was like, this is all so cute. Oh my gosh. And he says he needed some liquid courage. And he just hands her the ring. And she's like, is this your dead ex-wife's ring? And Susan's like, what the fuck?
It's a big diamond, though.
Yeah, Dolores.
Another big diamond. Yeah. He's like, it's 3 carats. That ring is like a $70,000 ring. Like, what the fuck?
Oh my God.
Like, that pancake place must be making money.
I fucking know. He's opening a chain. The second one. He's like, will you marry me? And she's like, yes. And everyone's like, really? Like, Morty and Susan are like, what? And she's like, but you have to do it officially. So Susan helps him get down on one knee because he's old. So she brings him like a little pillow. And Mary Alice Young says Sophie was still a hopeless romantic, but no longer naive. And she says, tomorrow we go and we trade in this ring for bigger diamond and something that is not your ex-wife's ring.
I like how she's not like too mad though. I mean, if you think about it, like they're older, like it's not a big deal that he used a recycled ring.
I wouldn't be mad.
No. I think it's like, yeah, you could just go or get it set differently. You know what I mean?
I think the diamond is a diamond. You should be using you should be buying a used diamond because those don't go up in value.
No,
So I'd be fine with a used.
And just or just put it in set differently.
Put it in a different,
like a personalized, make it more personal.
After that, we go into our little intro and then Mary Alice Young has a VO here. Marriage is a simple concept. A contract between two people that binds them together for life in hopes they can live happily ever after. Sadly, some contracts are made to be broken. And cut to Gabby and Carlos, and Gabby is like fucking throwing shit at him.
Mm-hmm.
And we could just start with them if that's easiest. We can just roll into Gabby. She's throwing things at him, rightfully so, because Carlos is the most fucked up husband of all time.
And it gets more fucked up.
Oh my God, it gets so
This is insane. Carlos is fucking insane.
She's like, you fucked with my birth control. And he's like, no, baby, like, didn't do that. It wasn't me. And she's like holding the birth control and she's like, it is ripped apart. Like, she's showing him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, probably a manufacturer defect. And I'm like, what a fucking narcissistic liar. Like, he's like, and she's like, you can see the glue. You can see the fucking glue. She's losing her mind. You've been whining about wanting a baby for months. Who else would have done this? And he says, Mama Celeste. And she's like, oh my God, this guy is straight up lying.
He is using, he took his dead mother. She got hit by a car already. He put her under the bus. He proceeded to then drive over and back over. And you know what's funny? Fucking when Gabby's reaction is just like, that bitch. Like, she fucking believes it.
That was the worst part, that she fucking believed it. She was like, oh my God, you're right. Like, I can't believe that.
Maybe this is the smartest thing Carlos ever did because Gabby knows he idolizes his mom. So, like, maybe that's why she believed him so easy. Because she's like, he would never slander his mother.
He would never, but I think it took it too far. He took it too far. Just own up your shit. Just be like, yeah, I, like, did it. Like, at this point, you are caught and you're going to have your baby. It's, like, super fucked. And he said, I loved her, but even I had my issues with her. She can be so controlling. And Gabby's like, she's reaching out from beyond the grave to screw with me. And then she, like, gets her shit and she's like, I'm going to go. I'm feeling a wave of nausea coming and I want to be by her grave when it happens.
Yeah, and I'm like, damn.
She doesn't go to the grave, though. She's got business to handle. I think she said that bitch. I think she kind of believed Carlos, but not 100%. Not 100%, because she goes to see John. And John is out there mowing something.
He's like mowing a field.
Like in a field somewhere. And he's gardening something. I thought it was my exact note. He's gardening something.
Yeah. He's like working on us like for school or something. I don't fucking know.
He's like, did you get my message? He's always too chipper to see her. He's like, hey, did you get my messages?
And he's like, hey.
Aren't you annoyed that she didn't like talk to you? I don't know. Did you get my messages? And she's like, I need to talk to you in person. I have some like upsetting news. And he's like, I got you. You can tell me. I can handle it. And she's like, I'm pregnant and it might be yours. And John loses his shit. I think this is an unrealistic reaction. I don't think this is how John would have reacted. Mm-hmm. I think he would have been more calm and cool, but he's like,
I feel like he'd be happy about it.
Yeah.
I was really thrown off by his reaction.
Throwing things and kicking them and screaming at her. And then we kind of like cut away from that and cut back. And he's like, I can barely afford my new dirt bike. How can I have a child? How can I handle child support? And I'm like, they love every opportunity to make him just look so doofusy. She says, I didn't come here to freak out. I came here to protect you. And he's like, from who? And she's like, Carlos and your parents, because like, this is fucked up.
Well, it's weird to me because in a lot of episodes this season, I think this is one of the flaws, not to get too broad here, something that I've noticed throughout this season, and maybe it's because it's the first season, but sometimes I feel like the character actions are not consistent.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I'm like, he loses his mind, but that doesn't seem consistent with how he's been this whole time. Like begging her to get back together.
Begging her to like live in their apartment.
I want to take care of you. I love you so much. Like, I feel like if she was like, I have a baby and it might be yours, he would be like...
He would see it as an opportunity.
Bitch in episode 2 didn't even have a bank account. Why is he concerned about money? Why is he spending money on a dirt bike? Who gave him permission?
But he's been trying to convince Gabby to run away with him. So I'm like, you literally have gone on and on about how much money you're like.
Yeah, about how he's so stable. But then it gets real. He gave her a credit card last episode or 2 episodes ago.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it does feel like confusing. And this is where I feel like the writers weren't consistent with his characterization.
Yeah.
So like, but, and I feel like there's been moments like that with a couple characters.
With couples, yeah.
And I think maybe this is just like the show like growing, like they're realized. Like, I mean, the affair with John in general has been so like all over the place this season. Like,
yeah.
So I do feel like they were still kind of finding their footing with what they wanted to do.
With John.
Yeah. Like, they weren't sure what to do once. It's like that pilot episode is so, it like hits the ball out of the park, right?
Yeah.
But then it's like, okay, now what do we do for 24 episodes or 23 episodes? I know,
when they were so long, such long seasons.
And so it's like, okay. So this is, I feel like, an example of like that first season, like no show has a perfect first season. I feel like this season's been really good.
Yeah.
But this is like a flaw that I picked up on. And this is like probably the most like, yeah, like the biggest
the
version.
Biggest.
Like, yeah.
He's like, what are you protecting me from? And she's like, this can ruin your life. There's no point in this catastrophe taking us both down. And he's like, I should have worn a condom. And she's like, yeah, that would have been helpful. And I was like, is that a weird like plug, like safe sex plug?
Also, like, why did she tell him?
What? That she's pregnant. That could be his.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know that he's smart enough to have been like, that could be mine.
She doesn't want him to be involved whatsoever.
Yeah, she says it's to protect him, but I'm not sure.
But like, why would she tell him then?
Well, this is like, okay, so as we go on, you'll see John is like going bananas. He is vehemently harassing her about it. Because Gabby's like upstairs. Carlos is in the bathtub. He bathes a lot. He bathes in the bathtub a lot.
They're bath people.
Yeah, they're bath. I guess that bath is super cool. But Gabby's putting hot sauce on something, and Carlos is like, you might give the baby heartburn. She's like, I can't get anything hot enough. Like, my hormones are all off. She's having those weird cravings. And yeah. John, she goes downstairs to the porch, and like, John rolls up.
Yeah.
And he has been doing some serious thinking about the baby. There's a big chance that it's his, and he wants to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. I figured you would blow me off, so I'm gonna go directly to Mr. Solis. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on in this boy's head? Like, what does he think is gonna happen with Carlos? And he's like, we need to hash this out man to man. And she's like, okay, you win. I'll go get him right now. And she goes back in and she tells Carlos, like, hey, baby, I'm going to, like, jump in the tub with you. Like, we're going to have some sexy time. Like, my hormones are crazy. To keep Carlos in the tub. And she puts on some music. And I had subtitles on and it said, like, R&B music.
And he's, like, vibing. I like goofy Carlos.
There's a goofy montage of Carlos, like, playing in the bath.
Yes. And I was like... Low key, I like it.
It was hilarious. So she does that so that she can go downstairs and like her and John can yell at each other in their front yard for all their neighbors to see, but nobody ever sees, I guess. She runs back downstairs, locks the door behind her, and John is going crazy. He screams at her. He's knocking at the door. He's like, Carlos, get Mr. Solis. He ends up grabbing a chair to throw it through their window like a psychopath. Did he take PCP before? I don't understand why this is where he went. Gabby throws the hot sauce in his face and he like falls over their porch. That's where it kind of ends. Like he falls over, and then Gabby and him talk, and she says, no matter what the paternity test says, like, Carlos is the father. And that's that. And he's like, why would you say that? And she said, he can provide. He can give piano lessons, summer camp, colleges. Like, John says, this isn't about money. This is about the baby. And she's like, if this is about the baby, you will help me and help me make sure this kid does not grow up poor like I did. And then Carlos comes out in his robe and he's like, hey, John, what's up? Like, after this heated scene, he's like, hey, man, you're here. What's up? John lies like a champ and says, Justin told me he thought the hydrangeas needed replacing and wanted a second opinion. And Carlos is like, Justin sucks compared to you. You should come back and work for us. You're practically family. And Gabby's like, So that's where it ends. But yeah, John, I just didn't see him getting so fucking, I guess I could see it because he did that impulsive proposal a couple episodes ago.
That's why though, I'm like, none of this makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like this episode too, he was so bipolar. And like, what did he think going and yelling and telling Carlos would do? Like he needs to like, this is where I'm like, Gabby, this is why you don't fuck a child. Because, like, he's fucking childish. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't even know what he's thinking. He's acting super irrational and, like, a crazy person.
Yeah.
Like, what does he think? How would it benefit anybody for him to fucking tell Carlos what's going on? Wait till he goes to jail, for fuck's sake, and then talk about it. Figure that shit out.
Yeah, I feel like it was just very impulsive on everybody's part. I feel like John has impulse control issues. I feel like he's going to be, like, in some sort of, like, I don't know, anger management program or something eventually. Mm-hmm. Like he was about to throw a chair through their window. That's so crazy. So that's what happens with Gabby. The montage with Carlos was peak. It was great. We can jump to Lynette. She has a heavy storyline, but it is rather short in general. Tom is like leaving for the day and he's like, Peterson wants to take me out for drinks. I'm going to be late. And Lynette's like, can we talk about something? And he's like, yeah, sure. What's up? And she's like, never mind. Like, she did the thing. And
she does that all the time.
I know. That's her MO.
That is how she starts a conversation.
That's really her, like, communication style. Can we talk? Never mind. And Tom's like, what is it? She's like, well, we haven't had sex in, like, 10 days. And that's the longest we've ever gone is 9. And I'm worried for her, too. I get worried.
I would be panicking.
Everybody count. You, if you're not counting, what's up? Why aren't you counting? You should be having a lot of sex. Like, maybe.
No, I'd be super concerned. Especially if, like, you guys.
If that's your regular. Not like you should or shouldn't. If you don't want to have sex, you don't have sex. Like, that's not your thing. But if you're in a relationship where you're always having sex, like, and then all of a sudden you're not. I have personally felt that panic multiple times. And I'm like, it's always bad news. Never good news when you're not having sex and you've been having tons. Like, so I felt this on like a granular level.
Like, yeah, no, like I've been in that situation too. And it's like, what the fuck? And like my current relationship, if 10 days went by, I'd be like,
I would be like, we're broken up now.
I'm like, are we even together at this point? Like, are we just friends?
Yeah, we're just friends.
Like, what's going on? Oof.
So she says that and Tom is like, not that worried. He's like, really? Are you sure? He's like, no, last Thursday we did it. And then she says he fell asleep on her. And I was like, oh my God, that's even worse. He's like, well, let's do it tonight. I've got 10 days pent up inside me. And I'm like, does he? That seems like the kind of thing like your boyfriend says to brush you off. And I'm like, but he's fucking someone else. So he's like, nothing to worry about. And then someone knocks at the door and he runs upstairs to grab his briefcase and it's fucking Annabelle. And she walks in looking hot in like a pant power suit skirt thing. And like her tits out, big tits. Lynette's in her pajamas with like baby throw up on her. And it's like stark contrast. And you're like, husband is not fucking me working with this chick every day. I'm gonna go die now. Thank you.
Well, and part of his attraction to Lynette in the very first place of their relationship we learned last episode was the fact that she was an Annabelle. So that's why it's like, I would be nervous too if like he was around the type of woman I used to be, which is what attracted.
Yeah. Like, Lynette should be shaking in her boots. She should be quaking. And then the next thing we see, Lynette is putting the kids to bed at 7 for a special meeting with Tom, aka sex. Lynette kisses him when he gets home and like she's super ready to get fucked. And he's like, I need to let the office wear off. And then they start kissing a little more and he's like, never mind. And then he stops kissing her for a minute. And he's like, what's that smell? And she's like, it's probably baby throw up, but I can like take it off. So she takes off her shirt. They start making out more. They like get on the couch and he stops again. He's like, wow, it really soaked through. And I would have like had the worst feeling in the pit of my stomach at this point. If this, I'm making out with a guy and he's like, wow, like you smell and like it's really bad actually. I would have been like wanting to vomit. And she's like, well, that's like my life. Mm-hmm. Like that's my, that's what my fucking life is like. He's like, I like it when you're in your clean and sexy clothes. And she's like, what are those? And she's like, everything I own is covered in chunks of like melted crayon and shit. Like with these kids, like I'm a mom. He's like, I'm sorry. It's nice when like girl, like women kind of like get ready for their man. She's like, you're making me feel like I just got off the shrimp boat. Like he's like, you could put in a little effort. And Lynette, like, I mean, I would be sobbing at this point. He wouldn't even be on top of me. I would have been like, get off of me. Like, I feel disgusting. I've had it happen when I was like in college. Like, I definitely felt not like this, not a guy being like, you smell badder, but like, they just say something like really hurtful in a moment like this. And it's the worst feeling in the world. And you're like, I just want to go home now. Like, thank you.
I just feel like it's not realistic, like, for Tom to be acting this way. Like, first of all, they just had a whole ass episode where she told him how insecure she was. Like, he saw that.
Yeah.
And so you'd think as, like, her husband, he would want to, like, maybe make her feel sexy regardless. Just because it's, like, clearly she needs to have some confidence built back up. Like, that's, like, at the end of the day, they're married.
Yeah.
Whether you agree with it or not, like, it is his job to help her when she does feel this way. That's part of, like, the for better or for worse or whatever. That's part of those vows. Like, you made a promise to, like, be there for this person. It's like, okay, maybe she isn't putting the effort that she used to, but maybe instead of making her feel fucking bad about it, while she's expressed to you how insecure she is about you working with your ex-girlfriend, like, find another way, dude. Like, this is weird.
Yeah, I don't know why you would be so rude and, like, make your partner feel like such shit. Like, if you have a problem with your partner being a slob, like, recently or something, there's some such nicer ways to say it. And, like, also not in the heat of the moment. Yeah, I don't know why in the heat of the moment you would be like, oh, you smell bad. You smell like baby throw up and you guys have a toddler together. You guys have a fucking toddler and like you're ragging on your wife about smelling bad.
Well, and three other children. Like, she has what her hands the hell? Fucking full.
Like, I don't know where Tom gets off. Like, he's clear. Okay, at this point, if I was Lynette, I'd be like, you are clearly cheating on me. Clearly, you are clearly cheating on me. We haven't had sex in 10 days. You're fucking making me feel insecure and like shit about like my sex, about being sexy, about sexuality. And like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, because Tom doesn't seem like that type of guy beforehand.
He's being very dismissive of her feelings.
All of a sudden, I'm nowhere. And I'm like, clearly things have changed. But that's where we go. Because like, Lynette's defeated. And I said I would cry. And Tom's like, can we just go back to kissing? And then the baby starts crying. And Lynette's just like, never mind. Mary Alice Youngboy is over. The lack of passion and her marriage had become an unpleasant reality for Lynette. And she's like going shopping. But she walks by a lingerie store. And like, the best way to fight reality was a little fantasy. And then she buys a leather maid outfit, which she looks really hot in, honestly. She is, like, waiting for Tom to get home and, like, drinking a glass of wine. And then, like, time goes by and, like, Tom is just not coming home. He's, like, later and later. And Lynette finishes the bottle of wine. And I'm like, yes, yes, girl. And Tom comes home with his fucking coworker that he has invited to stay with them out of nowhere. Didn't even tell Lynette. I just say, I hate Tom. And she's like passed out in her little maid outfit. And then the next morning, Tom is like giving her shit about the maid outfit too.
He's making jokes. And I'm like, you know what?
It's not funny.
Maybe wait. First of all, maybe work through the problem with your wife. And then you guys can make a joke about the fact that it just didn't work out that time. Because it is a funny situation, but maybe wait until this.
No, like, you can wait a week until you joke about it.
Yeah.
Or like work you through could the issue. Address the fact that you made her feel like shit. First, to drive her to even buy this outfit. He says, why don't you just let the maid handle it? Because she's like cleaning stuff and the coworker's showering. He's wondering if you could bring up a clean towel. And like, those are the jokes he's making. And she kicks him in the butt. She's being a good like sport about it. But she's like, I'm glad you find my humiliation so amusing. He's like, what were you thinking? And she's like, I was thinking that our marriage was in trouble and one of us should try and save it. And I'm like, damn. I'm like, fire, straight fire, Lynette.
And this is where Tom is like, we've talked about this. He's aloof. Like, he's oblivious. But this is like, dude, like, how many times does she have to tell you that she's not okay?
She has said 5 times in this episode alone. And he says, since when is our marriage in trouble?
I just, like, he's being so fucking insensitive. Like, I just, and you're right, like, it is kind of, this is, again, maybe an example of, like, out of character. Like, this whole season, they've kind of built Tom up as being a little goofy, but not a bad husband. And maybe sometimes he's aloof, but he's not, like, he's not an asshole. Like, I feel like he's being an asshole. And that's why you're right. Like, I would be like, you're fucking cheating on me because you're never this insensitive and mean.
This is so weird. Yeah. And she's like, he's like, we haven't had sex in a few days. It happens. The horn beeps outside and it's Annabelle. And I'm like, I guess she drives him to work every day. And I'm like, that's even weirder.
Yeah, they carpool.
What the fuck? I would be having so many issues with this. And Lynette's like, she comes here to remind me every day of, like, what I'm not. And Tom is like, what? How does Annabelle come into play? Stupid. Tom is just stupid here. She's the fantasy Tom. The hot woman you work with every day with her manicure nails and her hot outfits. And I'm the wife with all the clothes that smell like hamper and no makeup. I used to be the fantasy. I didn't need a maid's outfit because I knew I was enough for you, even wearing a smelly t-shirt. And he's like, if there's a way to fix it, I will. And just say it. And she's like, there's nothing to fix. We've just changed. And I was like, I feel sick. And the guy comes down and is like, are you ready? And Lynette's like, Annabelle's waiting. You should go. And he honestly should have fucking canceled work that day and, like, hung out with his wife, to be honest.
He should have taken a personal day. And again, like, not to seem like, I feel like I sound super needy sometimes when I respond the way I do to these situations, but, like, I don't know, man. Like, you have four kids with this person. Like, this is her, like, her whole life revolves around being a mother and partner for Tom, right? A mother for their kids and being a housewife. The least he could do is, I don't think Lynette's being, like, crazy either. It's not like she's being, like, this annoying ass, like, high-strung, crazy wife, you know, at home all day being weird.
Yeah.
Like, this is a very specific situation. She's made very clear why she feels uncomfortable. I think it's all very rational. And honestly, like, I would feel the same way 100%. Like, I really empathize with Lynette. This is, like, one of the few times where I feel like I truly empathize with Lynette because sometimes she is so fucking annoying.
Yeah.
But I think she's, like, completely in the right here, and it is hard that, like, for two episodes now, she's had to, like, browbeat Tom, essentially, into understanding why she feels the way she feels. And it's just so bizarre to me that he doesn't see it.
Yeah, but I'm interested to know what Tom's secret was from the episode where Rodney comes.
So that's the other thing. I mean, yeah, we know he has a secret.
Yeah.
And I know what it is.
But I'm like, what is his secret?
I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to find out for a long time.
Oh, motherfucker. Not even by the end of the season?
No, it's not till, like, maybe the end of next season.
What the fuck? Why would they tease that?
I don't know. When they teased it, I was kind of sitting there because, like, I know what it is, but I know a lot of that plot.
Yeah.
I know when it happens. So I'm kind of like, why would they tease it?
It was so early.
Like, a year ahead of time.
Yeah. I just think Tom is fucking up. He was husband number one in my eyes for, like, lots of the season, but now he's, like, falling behind. I guess it's not that hard. Like, okay, he's still better than Carlos. Still, I don't even know. Rex was kind of down with LGBTQ.
But so. Rex is also one of those characters where I feel like they don't know what to do with him. Because they make him such an asshole. And in this episode, we kind of get that vibe again, which is weird because they just spent, like, how many episodes kind of rehabilitating him?
Yeah,
And then they just make him an asshole again, which, again, we'll get to that later. But, the husbands are just, like,
they're fucking up hard right now.
Yes.
And Tom, okay. And this is how it ends. Like, Lynette's storyline ends. Tom comes home and it's like the boys are asleep and he, like, gives a timer to Lynette and sets it. And he's like, meet me upstairs when this timer goes off. And it's okay. He's, like, trying so hard to salvage it. But, like, okay, so the timer goes off and she goes inside and he's, like, in a little thong, like a little cheetah thong.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you want fantasy? I'll give you fantasy. Like, come to me, woman. Like, prepare to be boarded and, like, kill the light. So she's like, no. And I said, it's, like, kind of cute, but I spent so much of this episode being, like, feeling personally attacked by Tom from all my previous relationships, like, that I've gone through stuff like this. And I just have to say, like, this act is not enough to make up for anything that he did in this episode, in my opinion. So I feel salty about it.
And again, this is going to be a long episode, everybody, because I feel like we've talked a lot about this.
I know.
Sorry, everyone.
But I'm triggered.
We're feeling chatty today. Yeah. No, but I agree with you. I do think this is one of the most relatable storylines we've gotten from any of the characters because we've all been in relationships where the other person is not being receptive, and then they think
listening,
and then they realize that they pushed you to a point. Like, basically, I think Tom realized Lynette was pushed to her limit.
Yeah.
So he had to do something. He had to do something big. And I think it's great to do something nice and big for your partner, but I also think, like, that shouldn't be, like, your little fix. That should just be something you already do. Like, yeah. The fact that it took her to, like, took okay, two the whole
first
episodes.
Time, the first time when she's like, we haven't had sex in 10 days, he should have been whipped and worried. He should have been like, oh, my God, like, that's not it at all. Came home and fucked her brains out. That's what he should have done.
Well, and the fact, like, even if he was, like, I'm not saying you should have sex with your partner if you're, like, not into it.
Yeah, that's not it, but, like.
But he could at least, I don't know. I feel like Lynette and him have had sex when he's into it and she's tired.
Something intimate. It could even just be an intimate dinner. Or, like,
come home,
something.
Come home with flowers and a nice dinner for her.
Just be, like, cool.
Do something. Like, yeah, it's just,
what
like.
What the fuck?
It was, like, way too little too late. And then it also feels like, okay, he's going to do this one night and then they're just going to be back where they are because they didn't really talk about it. Yeah. It was just, like, him doing this thing, but they didn't actually work through the issue.
Yeah, that's why I'm, like, this act is stupid to me, and I probably wouldn't even be turned on, because I would be, I use the phrase sometimes, nothing makes me drier. Like, nothing would have made me drier. Like, I feel like I would have been emotionally so pissed at him that, like, I wouldn't have even wanted to have sex with him in the thong. I wouldn't have thought, I would have been, like, I fucking would have been still mad.
I would have preferred, like, if I were her, I would have wanted, like, to come, or for him to come home, and for him to sit down and talk to me, because that would have more lasting, like.
And just be like, I'm sorry that this situation is making you so insecure. Not
like
making
okay,
you
what
but
if
he, like, I'm obviously know that I'm doing something to make you insecure, yeah. And I don't want to do that. Like, have a heart to heart and be like, the sex, you know, that's not because of anything. Like, there's so many. He just fuck Tom. I hate him this episode.
And like, if he really wanted to do like if he really wanted to go all out, he could have done both. He could have done come home, sit with her, like talk to her, like make her feel heard and understood, and then hand her the timer and go upstairs and be like, okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, it's not, she's clearly like upset about not having sex, but she also is very emotionally like in pain right now.
He's like,
it's not just the sex
anymore.
Yeah,
he's like, my dick will fix this, I guess.
But that's the thing, like, he's so like, it's not purely that you guys haven't had sex at this point. Now you've had two whole episodes of you reacting so poorly that now there's like an emotional level to it.
Yeah. So fuck Tom. Moral of the story, hate Tom right now.
Not happy with Tom.
And we can, I mean,
I feel
like,
personally betrayed
I feel
by
like
Tom.
We need a whole episode about this. I'm so mad that it happened. Like, as I watched this storyline unfold, I was just like, I can't. I feel like I was like having mad flashbacks to like all of my college relationships.
Yes.
Like,
I was
like,
real.
Oh my God. But on another note of relationships, Bree is still fucking around with George.
Dude,
a nightmare of an episode.
These episodes too, man, like knowing what happens, it's so infuriating.
Oh,
watching
God,
them,
it's horrid.
I'm like, Brie, like, you are such an idiot. Like, low-key,
she's emotionally cheating on Rex. Let's just put it out there, that's what it is. I'm not even gonna spin it like it's anything cool or good. Like, I don't know.
No, she's having an emotional affair 100%.
Have your take on emotional cheating. That's what she's fucking doing. She's out to eat with George. That's where we come in, where we drop in on her. And they're like trying each other's food off their plates. It's like very intimate. And like the conversation is intimate. It ends up with him being like, let's go to Italy, which is fucked, George. That's a fucked thought. Like, if you're having that thought about a married woman, like, check yourself. And he's like, and then Brie is sitting there complaining about Rex. And she's like, too many glasses of wine. Whoops. She's like, Rex hates these dish shit. Like, hates trying new things. He likes spaghetti and root beer. And I was like, weird combo.
Yeah. She does. Who wrote that line? Like,
it was root beer. Crazy it wasn't line. Beer. And I'm like, who also is eating pasta and drinking beer? Like, do you want your gut to just be bloated from all the gluten?
Oh my God, yeah.
And he's like, this is the best marinara sauce I ever had. And she's like, the best I ever had was in Italy before the kids were born. And then I did say, shout out pearl necklace choker that Brie is wearing.
Yes, I was about to say that too. Like, she looks like a little too hot.
Yeah, she's looking fucking sexy.
Because the way her hair is too, it's a little saucy.
Yeah, Brie is out there to get him in there. Mm-hmm. She's like, we just don't have fun anymore. And I guess it was easier to be happy back then. And that's when she's like, I guess I got too many glasses of wine. And that's when he's like, let's go to Italy. He's like, we could go to museums and tours and make pigs of ourselves. And she's like, I can't go on a trip with you. And he's like, why not? She's like, because I'm fucking married and people would talk. And like,
I don't know. I just feel like Bree's like playing with fire.
And like, for sure, because Edie sees. She's playing with
Edie
fire.
Edie smirks her across
Edie
the restaurant.
Edie sees Bree feed George. First of all, I don't like feeding my partner. I think it's once in a while. I think with my ex, we sometimes would eat ice cream. Like, I would be like, we were weird though. He would be like sitting in front of me on the couch, like with my legs around him, and like he would feed me. It was different, but like we didn't like feed each other like sexy like
look,
that.
Even if you don't think something's like sexy though, like sometimes when you're just with a certain person, like you do stuff you normally
the
wouldn't.
Weirdest shit.
Yeah, like stuff that you would normally cringe at, you're like, but I like doing it with this person.
Feeding somebody from across the table is not my vibe though. More of an intimate
in public meeting. I would be like,
hell,
please don't
no.
feed me,
please get your fucking hand away from
like
my
hand
face.
Me the fork, it's yeah, fine, it's you can good. Put it on the fork, but let me do the job.
She's feeding George though, and Edie sees, is like, Edie knows what's up. Edie's the realest bitch on the block.
That's the fact. Like, all these women judge Edie, but at least Edie like puts it out there.
Edie
like,
keeps the real.
She's real.
She keeps it 100. Yeah. And so they're on their way out the door next time we catch up with Bree. Rex is thinking about a new cardiologist. He won't stop complaining up and down the room, but doesn't want he's just complaining about the test. They're running tests and they don't know what's wrong. Mm-hmm. And Bree's like, we socialize with them. Like, what am I going to say to his wife if you leave? And he's like, I've never felt worse. I have to do something. And she sees Edie. And at the restaurant, she made eye contact with Edie. And you saw it on her face how guilty she looked.
And she looks like confused why Edie would smirk at her. I'm like,
yeah,
this is like weird as fuck, Bree. Like, you're so stupid.
Yeah, Edie walks by and like smirks and like, Bree catches up with her and she's like, I have to like go get a recipe from Edie really fast. And she runs and does it. And like, she doesn't get the recipe, but she's like, hey, Edie, we need to talk about like the other night, kind of.
Yeah.
And she's like, I did see you, naughty, naughty. And she's like, I beg your pardon. She's like, the guy, the one you were spoon feeding. And I'm like, comes back to bite you in the butt, right? She said, not my taste. And Bree's like, George and I are just friends.
Well, and Edie's just like, well, I don't blame you after that hooker housewife that Rex
yeah.
was fucking.
She like, brings out the big guns. And she's like, you got the wrong idea. That man is my pharmacist. And she's like, why is everybody hating on a pharmacist? She says, you could have an affair with anybody and you chose the pharmacist.
Pharmacists make good money.
And I'm like, they make bank if you're a real pharmacist. So that's, they shame him. They job shame him. And she's like, I'm not having an affair. We just talk. He's a good listener. I share my hopes, dreams, and my innermost thoughts.
Is she stupid though? Like, did she not realize saying that out loud? Like, I'm almost sitting there like, Brie, you sound so fucking naive and stupid.
Yeah, like that's emotional cheating.
And
to
it's
a
fine.
T.
That's the description
yeah, that's
of
like,
emotional affair.
Open up the dictionary right now.
If you search emotional affair, it's sharing your innermost dreams. And also, like, Bree just fucking talked to Rex. Like, Rex clearly wants to, like, be around. So it's like, why are you not just telling him, like, you're not fulfilling me emotionally?
Yeah.
He had no problem telling her that she wasn't fulfilling him sexually.
Yeah, he opened up about the BDSM. I think that, and they've gone through this shit with Andrew. And I feel like she could definitely say that.
And like, that's where, again, I get confused. It's like they had a beginning and an end, and then in the middle, they weren't sure where to go, how to get there. And this feels, like, rushed. It feels a little rushed.
A little bit rushed. And, like, basically, Edie's like, okay, I believe you. Because Bree is begging her to believe her that it's, like, not a thing. And she's like, glad we cleared this up. I didn't want you thinking I was cheating on my husband. And she's like, but you are. Like, Edie tells her, and she's like, excuse me? I mean, come on, you're telling your innermost thoughts, hopes, and dreams. It sounds like you're pretty intimate with a guy who isn't your husband. And she's like, we all need someone to talk to. And she's like, why not Rex? Just like Jordan said. And then we see Bree is knitting something for Gabby's baby in the color green, and she goes on about it. And Rex is, like, barely paying attention. He's doing a crossword, and he's worried about his test results. He obviously is really worried about his health. And he's like, you must be tired of hearing me complain. She's like, not at all. And she's like, we should talk about it. Like, we don't talk about it enough. And he's kind of dismissive. And then she's like, why don't we start doing things together again as a couple? So I'm like, do you guys just not hang? Like, I don't get it.
I think what's annoying about this scene, I think she's doing what she's supposed to do, but she just gives up so easily. Like, be a Lynette and maybe bring it up a couple times. Yeah. Don't just try once to kind of beat around the bush. And then it's like almost like she wants justification for why she spends time with George.
Yeah.
Because she's not trying that hard. And I get why she's hurt. Like the way Rex is dismissive is hurtful, but that does not excuse this behavior. Like,
yeah,
I'm sorry. Like, this is why, like, cheating sucks, because it's like, yeah, you can have all your reasons, but at the end of the day, like, you just end your relationship then. If you're so unhappy, like, then just go.
Yeah, just find someone else. Like, she brings up going to Italy. She's like, on top of, like, let's do stuff as a couple again, she's like, let's go to Italy. She's like, do you remember? And he's like, I remember sweating like a pig and, like, being mad we spent all our savings. He's like, he has, like, a negative review of it. And after she just had, like, such a wonderful, like, recap to George. And so she, like, is, like, on the verge of tears.
He's also, like, is Rex, like, daft? Like, is he not, like, noticing how, like...
She's literally distraught. And he's, like, doing the crossword. And he's, like, where do you want to go? And she's, like, it doesn't matter. You decide. They just have an unhappy marriage. She's emotionally cheating.
I mean, their marriage is...
Tom is...
Maybe they should have just divorced when...
Yeah, I think they should have divorced. I feel like Bree... I don't know. I'm guilty of this. I've done this. I've hung out with dudes that I don't quite like as much as I know I could. I think Rex is just toxic for her.
I think he is too. They're not a good match.
They're not a good match, but I know that she can't, like, tear herself away probably. And so she's trying really hard to date this cool. She seems to like George though. Maybe she just doesn't want to fuck him. I don't know what the deal is, but she doesn't even want to fuck Rex. She doesn't even want to do the BDSM.
No, she doesn't.
So I don't know, like, what she wants. But I get it, but I also am just like, maybe you should end your relationship first. Like, you've nearly done it a bunch of times. Last but not least is Susan.
Yeah, so Susan this episode, typical Susan self, goes a little nuts. She's a bit nutty this episode. But her mom leaves, finally, with Morty, so she's not staying at their house anymore, which Susan's pretty happy about. But Morty, like, gives Susan this talk, and he's like, look, your mom told me what was going on with this Mike guy, and it sounds pretty rough, but...
I'm like, everybody, everywhere she turns, somebody is like, Mike,
yeah.
The plumber?
Yeah, and he's like, don't give up on him, and Susan's like, well, did she tell you about, like, the killing a cop?
Yeah.
And he's like, no.
The manslaughter.
Yeah, he, like, does not know any of the bad stuff, so he's like, okay, well, okay. Like, that makes a little more sense. I don't know. Basically, he's just trying to say, like, don't give up on love. And then...
Yeah, cue Mike getting his mail. Yeah. We see him across the street.
But then, like, Sophie tells her about, like, how she went to Mike's house and, like, he had found out someone had died. And so she, like, tells Susan that. And Susan's like, wait, what? And she's like, he could use a shoulder to cry on. And Susan, like, kind of changes her tune pretty quick. She gets really empathetic about it. And, yeah, she looks and sees Mike, like... Getting his mail.
Then she tells Julie that she hired a private investigator.
Yeah.
And they're sitting with the file, and she's like, I can't trust him. I need information from a source that doesn't have an agenda. So, like, I hired this dude. She hasn't read the file. She's having Julie read the file to her, which I've done with text messages the day after being blacked out.
Nothing worse. Nothing worse than looking at your phone after you've blacked out.
I literally used to have my friends be like, can you, like, read? I wouldn't open it. I would be like, oh, shit. And I'd be like, can you read this and just tell me if it's, like, good or bad.
Yeah.
So she's having Julie open the file and do that. And she's like, if you find out something really bad, to, like, try to put a positive spin on it. And I'm like, fucking Susan's doing the most for Mike. Like, the most. All this is the most. So Julie's like, good news and bad news. The bad news, the guy Mike killed was a cop, because we don't know that he's a cop killer at this point. And she's like, there's no good news.
Well, we knew, but
yeah, but she, like, she didn't know. She's like, there's no good news, but you told me to spin it, so that's the best I had. And she's like, I can't believe it. And she's, like, so distraught that it was a cop. And I'm like, why are you, like, more distraught that it was a cop? No, because you should just be upset that it was, like, a human.
Yeah, a human died. But I think it's just, like, the stigma attached to it, maybe. I don't know.
It's like... Yeah, so she's, like, crying over that. And then she sees Kendra in this picture that's in the file, and she's like, wait, I know that chick. Because there's a picture of Mike looking scruffy in a, like, jumpsuit.
Yeah.
And in the back, there's Kendra.
And Kendra like, and, like, the boss.
Yeah,
man.
The boss. So Mike's looking pretty hot in that. Like, rugged. And, mm-hmm. and rugged in the jumpsuit.
Yeah.
And then cut to the ranch with Kendra's dad and Mike. Kendra sees them talking, and she goes up, and she just is, like, mad. She's like, Deidre's dead. Like, get over it. It's her sister. And she's like, it's not easy. It's not that easy, Kendra, they say. And she's like, she hated you guys. So, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, and her dad says it was the drugs talking. She doesn't, and she's like, she didn't care. She threw your love back in your face. They have a bit of a showdown, and the dad is like, are you done yet? And she's like, no, I want to know what you're planning to do. And Mike's like, we're just talking. She's like, I don't believe you. And he's like, don't ask. So they're having, like, obviously an issue there.
Yeah.
Susan rolls up to the estate, though, and she says she's looking for Kendra Taylor, and this cop is like,
it's like private security or something.
Yeah. He's like, who are you? He's like, you need to leave. And she gets out of the car and, like, gives a monologue about how she's doing this in the name of love and that, like, he should understand that. And he, like, pins her against the hood.
Yeah.
He's like, you get back in the car.
Yeah. But Kendra, like, sees it and stops what's happening. And Susan, like, sits down with Kendra and her dad and is like, hey, so can someone please explain the rest of the story? But the dad is like, no, like, this is actually what happened. Like, Mike is a cop killer. Like, he is a psychopath. And Kendra just kind of sits there. And then, like, Susan leaves super disappointed. And he turns to her and he's like, we need Mike to stay focused so, like, she can't know the truth. But Kendra takes matters into her own hands.
Kendra's been in love before.
Yeah, Kendra.
You can tell.
Kendra gets it.
Yeah.
She sympathizes with her fellow woman. So she, like, runs to Susan's car and tells her to pull around the corner. And she basically tells her that Mike and Deirdre were together, but then, like, Mike got clean and Deirdre was still, like,
it's kind of hot that Mike used to be a druggie.
I know, but that he, like, got clean.
Yeah,
and then, like,
even hotter.
This cop was basically raping Deirdre.
Yeah, and he was using her. It was fucked up. So.
And so Mike finds out about it and goes to stop him, and they both fall off the balcony, but he survives.
Wild times.
And so basically he, like, saved Deirdre from getting raped all the time by a cop. So Susan, like, and rightfully so, Susan is, like, in tears about this. Because it's just an all-around horrible situation, and she, like, realizes that she should have just fucking read Mike's letter.
I know.
This is what bothers me too, is it's like, okay, even if she'd opened his letter and been like, maybe he's lying, she could have gotten, like, you know what
she
I mean?
She could have gotten all this information because I'm sure Mike wrote her about it. Like, I don't think Mike was going to, like, lie about
I think Mike was going to tell her the truth, but she refused to listen. And I'm just like, you wasted so many episodes, like, so much time.
Should I read the letter? Should I not? Should I break into
She had to pay house? For, yeah. like, a fucking PI.
She had to pay for Shaft, which I'm sure has premium prices.
Yes. Like,
that's what happened. And then she's like, I knew it. I knew Mike was good. And, like, that's kind of where it ends. Then she gets back together with him at the end.
Yeah.
She runs up to his house, and she's, like, just kisses his face off. And it's cute.
And then, yeah, I mean, aside from that, the rest of the episode, there is a little bit of a story about, oh, more than a little.
Paul.
Paul's, like, drugging Zach so he can move him. And Felicia, like,
oh my God, this is actually a really in-depth storyline.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about it. But Felicia, like, realizes, well, she, like, keeps trying to hang out with Zach because she wants to, like,
she's trying to hang hard. She's, like, leaving him a message and, like, baking him a pie.
Yeah. And so finally she, like, goes over there and she finds him, like, unconscious. And she was a nurse, so she realizes, like, looks at the
pills.
She
looks for the drugs. She finds the drugs.
She's kind of a badass. Like, I was, like, kind of impressed with her. I was like, whoa.
In a place I would have never looked, she finds it in, like, an oven mitt. He's hiding the drugs in an oven mitt. And I'm like, is that, like, a thing?
Well, she gets Zach home, like, to her house, kind of, like, helps him. And basically she tells Paul, like, I know everything. I'm going to be taking care of Zach and you need to leave.
Yeah, she fucking handles that shit. Yeah. The boss is vigil now. Like, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And she tells Zach, like, your dad left.
Yeah.
He's like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. And so, like, the whole thing's, like, super weird. But, yeah, Felicia's basically like, I'm going to take care of Zach now. Bye, Paul.
Yeah.
And that's, like, that on that.
Yeah, and then the baseball mitt. Oh, okay, yeah. And she was holding a knife the whole time, Paul, because Paul comes over and they have this conversation. And, like, when he leaves, you see that she was holding a knife the whole time. Like, she didn't feel safe.
Well, she knows that he fucking, like, she's a smart cookie. She knows what's up. He is dangerous.
Yeah.
When it comes to protecting, like, his family, yeah, we know what he's capable of. So she's, like, I think she's right.
Yeah, this was also breaking and entering in the house. This was our peak breaking and entering for the episode when she breaks in and just fucking kidnaps Zach. She carries him. She's strong. It's a big ass boy.
Yeah.
At the beginning, Paul meets with Shaft, and Shaft tells him that Susan hired him. And he's like, I'll get her off your scent. And that's when Shaft goes to Susan and, like, confirms Paul's story, like, weak-ass story about Mary Alice changing her name because of her aunt.
Yeah.
And so that's when, that's what sparks Susan, like, getting the background check on Mike.
Yeah, so she basically, like, gets all the information about Paul. It's all confirmed. And then she, like, kind of sees, like, Mike's house. And she's like, actually.
That's where we end up. Oh, my gosh. That gave me a little bit to think about. But we have a monologue at the end. And the vow is simple, really. Those who take it promise to stay together for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and health, to honor and cherish, forsaking all others until death do us part. The vow is simple, but finding something worthy of that promise is the hard part. But if we can, that's when we start to live happy ever after.
This was a really well put together episode. The way all of their storylines lined up with those vows too. Like, I was like, this was good writing.
It was crazy.
Like, this was pretty good. Yeah. I liked it. I liked that.
Oh my
ending.
Gosh. So fuck. I'm like, oh, I don't know. But fuck, marry, kill. Kill Tom. Sorry, have to do it. Hate Tom.
I would kill Tom too.
I'm killing Tom for sure. Fucking Mike in the jumpsuit. Fucking Mike, because he was a former addict recovered and, like, a badass.
I'd marry Edie.
You'd marry Edie?
Yeah, because she kept it real this episode. I kind of like the way she said to Brie, like, I mean, you are cheating on him emotionally.
Yeah, she fucking kept it 100.
I like Edie. I don't think Edie, like, okay. This is kind of like the paradox. I feel like Edie's got this rep for being like a home wrecker or whatever, but I don't think she would ever cheat on anybody.
She calls it like she sees it.
But I just don't think she'd ever cheat on anybody. I think she's the type to break up with someone to fuck somebody else.
100%.
But she's not like a bad
person. She would break up with the guy at like 8 p.m. and like have the guy she's about to hook up with over at 9.
Like, still good for her. I mean, I like that. That's how you should,
that's
I guess.
How you should do it if that's what you want.
Yeah.
And then I would marry Felicia.
Okay.
For her heroic rescue.
Yeah, it was pretty badass.
Wild.
So, yeah, I mean, overall, it was pretty straightforward with, like, what characters we disliked and liked.
Tom, fuck Tom. I hate Tom.
I'm so pissed at Tom.
Pissed at Tom.
Housewife of the Week.
I want to give it to Felicia.
Okay, yeah, let's give it to Felicia.
She's
like a dress-stiffing dog.
She rescued Zach from a super terrible situation.
Yeah.
Drugged as fuck. Okay, also, we didn't quite cover it, but, like, Zach was, like, begging to go to the hospital. Like, he said he felt sick as fuck, and his dad was like, drink your drugged cocoa and shut the fuck up.
Well, he was like, super I know terrible. You feel sick. That's the point.
Law and Order SVU shit there.
Yes, absolutely.
It was SVU crossover there. I'd say Felicia is my hero. Housewife of the Week, she just, like, went in there, handled business, carried a young boy out of this house, like, a
out of
super
harm's
strength.
Way.
Threatened his dad, made him leave, was looking out for her own safety by carrying that knife the whole time he was there. I'm fucking in love with Felicia.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But that brings us to our Apple rating. And I'm nervous.
I'm nervous too.
I think, okay, should we just do it? Are you ready? Yes. I'm nervous. Okay. Okay. 3, 2, 1, 5.75. I don't know. I was thinking 4.75, but I was like, it was so good.
The only knock I'm going to give it is what I was saying earlier when we were talking about John. I just felt like some of the writing, it was a bit of a leap for some of the characters.
Yeah.
I almost wish maybe we'd had they'd either got to these storylines a little earlier so we had a little more time, or I don't know. But there were just a couple out of character moments this episode, which... That's the only reason I'm not.
Yeah, going. I think I could agree. I already gave my 5. I'll stick with my 5, but I agree that there were some out of character things. But I'll justify John. He seems impulsive. He just seems like up and down, moody, impulsive.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's completely out of character.
But it did seem, I didn't think that would be his reaction.
It was a bit abrupt.
Yeah.
Compared to like everything else he's ever done.
But I thought that, like, these topics were super relatable. They brought up tons of conversation. Yeah, they just bring up a lot to think about. Mm-hmm. And it's more than just, like, surface level, like, my kid got lice. Like, people are gossiping.
We got more meatier, like, story. Yeah, I think everybody had a really good storyline. I think there was a lot of good movement. Like, there was a lot of great stuff in this episode. Don't get me wrong. 4.75 is still a good score.
That's a great score.
I'm not saying, like, it's a 4 or 3, but I just think, like, I feel like if maybe we'd seen a little more of John showing this impulsiveness, or maybe even just, like, understood Gabby's motivations for even telling him.
Yeah.
Like, there was just, like, I was a little confused on that. But aside from that, though, like, I did, like, we got a lot of good movement. I think, like, everyone's stories, though, like, fit their characters well. I think that, like,
I think, like, the emotion, yeah, and the theme of, like, marriage and, like, this vow.
Yeah, the,
like,
episode
the emotional
theme.
Cheating, the likely physical cheating that Tom is doing. Gabby trying to figure out this situation, like, who the father is. I'm not even, like, figuring out who the father is, but saying, like, Carlos is my husband, he can provide. That was interesting. And then Susan, like, well, Sophie and Morty are cute as well, but, like, Susan going all these lengths to be with somebody and, like, committing is,
I think Susan,
well,
like, has a good feeling. She just didn't have all the evidence, so she kind of didn't have a choice. Like,
yeah,
she kind of had to break up with Mike if all she knew was that he fucking killed somebody. Like, okay, like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I do get it, but she also has a gut feeling that, like, Mike's not the kind of person to just kill somebody.
Yeah.
So it's like, I do appreciate that she went out of her way, but she could have saved herself some money and just fucking read his letter. She could have read the letter and then gone to Kendra to get confirmation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
she could have done a lot of things differently.
Yeah, like, you didn't have to hire a PI.
You didn't have to hire Shaft. It wasn't like that.
wasn't that intense?
Yeah, but wow, you guys, that was, like, one of my favorite episodes so far. Oh my God.
It's a great kickoff for, like, these final three.
Final three. You guys, we're in the home stretch. And if you've been listening, we're so happy that you came along.
It's been, like, a 4 or 5 month journey.
It's been a long time. Yeah.
March, April, May, June.
5 months.
It is 5 months by the time all the episodes come out.
Yeah, we don't know what we're doing after we finish. I mean, we're gonna do season 2 and 3. Don't get worried.
Yeah,
I felt your listeners, like, heart, I felt your hearts drop.
And season 2 is batshit bonkers.
Yeah, but
it's,
like,
it's one of those things where I really want us to do it. I'm excited for us to do it because I think compared to this season, you're gonna. I think I'm really excited to see your reactions.
I'm excited, but...
But it is notorious for having a weird central mystery.
Oh.
It's very strange.
I'm interested.
I really like the character stories in it, but the main mystery is very strange. And you, when you watch it, you're going to be like, what? What was the decision? But,
I'm gonna have some
but it's also the only
it.
Season where Mark Cherry did not write it.
Oh.
So he, like, let other people take it over.
And then he was like, mistake.
And then it got bad reviews, so he kind of came back as, like, as the head writer for the third season, which is my favorite season. So, but you can't have season 3 without season 2.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. I think we will probably take, like, a month off and then come back with some episodes for you guys. We might have, like, a in-between. We're thinking of doing, like, a special episode with some, like, superlatives, some, like, best this and that, most likely to.
Yeah.
Some fun stuff. We're thinking
we'll still be active.
Yeah.
We're not going to go black for fucking, you know.
No, not for, like, months.
We're not going
dark.
We're
thinking at most it'll be a month or two, but then we'll come back with our season 2. But we'll keep you posted, and we appreciate you guys liking, following, subscribing, listening. Anything that you do, we're so happy to hear from you, but... Yeah, we're gonna watch next week. We're watching episode 22. I think it's called Goodbye for Now. So that'll be next week. It'll be next Monday. Mm-hmm. So you know the drill. Tune in.
Yep.
And we'll be here. But in the meantime, get to know your neighbors.
Know your neighbors.